Blog Talk Radio.
Let the healing begin.
show is not intended to take the place of orthodox medicine, but to work in conjunction with it. Therefore, if you need to seek medical advice, we advise that you do so. By participating in the Blog Talk Gold Ring Healing Fountain radio show, you are implying that you give permission to receive healing from Source, the Universe, all that is, God, or whatever name you call the Supreme Being, by whichever vibration it comes on. For example, Eastern energies facilitate Reiki, etc. Or Western therapies may utilize the Christ angelic energies. This program is non-denominational, so the healing modality will vary depending on the guest speaker. All healing comes from the same source. It may just come on a different vibration, rather like tuning into a different radio station. We ask that you join us with an open heart and mind, with a clear head, i.e. not under the influence of drink or recreational drugs.
Everyone who lives on this earth has a mission to do.
All our healers are working from a place of love and light, with the highest good of mankind and Mother Earth uppermost in heart, thought, and deed. Please relax and enjoy this co-creation. This is your time. We are in the time of now.
Angels are standing in line to help me and you. So trust what you feel in your heart and you'll never lose.
Episode 257 of the Golden Healing Fountain Show. And it's great to be back because I was on holiday last week, so it was lovely to have a night off, but it's lovely to be back as well. And we have a fabulous guest today. We have Claire Candy Hoff, and she's going to be speaking about suicide from an angel's perspective, among other things. And she did have a couple of near-death experiences, and so she helps others to see their lives from a higher perspective and to gain, I'll get the right teeth in a minute, I think these are the dogs, and to gain, to gain clarity, direction, peace and compassion. So that's going out to everybody out there. So this is Jan Christie speaking to you from the United Kingdom, somewhere near Liverpool. And around this time of the show, we usually go over to Oregon to join up with Gary Moore. Are you there, Gary?
I am here. Hello, everyone. Hi, Jan Christie.
Hiya, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. Welcome back as well.
Yeah,
it was a nice little holiday.
It was a surprise holiday. And,
yes.
So surprise to me as well. I think I only knew about 3 days beforehand, but somebody said, do you want to go? So I thought if I can get somebody to stand in for me, I didn't need asking twice. So I packed my bag and I was off. So
there you go.
To Spain. It was lovely. It's lovely in Spain. So, okay, so how have you been doing? You've been doing a couple of ceremonies, haven't you?
Yes, yeah.
Lodges and stuff?
We've got the, the Native American powwow season is upon us. And powwows, we got one coming up next week as well, but not till the weekend on that one. Actually it's on the 28th, weekend of the 28th, so a couple weeks, but... Yeah, those are just kind of a festival, get-together, gathering of people, of Native people. Traditionally, it was where you went to make more relatives, you know, and participate in song and dance and food. Now there's a lot of competition to them. The dancers compete, you know, with the regalia, dancing styles, the drum styles, all that. It's quite a fun time.
It sounds brilliant. I wouldn't mind coming over there and going to one of those.
Come on, absolutely.
Yeah, love to. I'll get my hair in my flats, and I'll be off.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway, now that we've joined up with Gary over there in Oregon, we are a worldwide co-creation, because everyone who tunes in, or anyone who guests on the show, is all part of the co-creation of co-creating the energies, the healing energies as well. And so we always like to start off with a group hug. So we'll have a group hug right now, and I want everybody to just close their eyes. Yeah, close your eyes and see the most beautiful version of yourself that you can see. And that is the real you. Okay, so we have had our big group hug, our around the world hug. And before we actually bring Candy on, we're going to play a song, a nice, bright, uplifting one. Could It Be Magic by Take That?
Wonderful.
And it is magic, isn't it?
Time I need you, whirling like a cyclone in my
Oh, could it be magic, of course. And Gary's waiting for his cosmic kiss. So here's
yes.
a great big cosmic kiss coming out to everybody. Oh,
I've been waiting for that. Thank you.
Right. That was to all the guests in the chat room as well. Got loads of guests in there. And we're going to bring Candy on, see how she's been getting on since last time we saw her. You there, Candy?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Big hi to you too.
Hi.
There you are.
Hi, Candy. Sorry. I think you were muted there. But anyway, we've got you now. So how have you been going on?
I've been very, very well, and very glad to have a lot of those eclipses and supermoons and things behind us, as a lot of us are feeling much lighter, and the energies seem to be uplifting, and they're only the posse of angels, my angelic family, tell me that they're only going to accelerate and get better from now on, and I am first to say thank goodness for that.
Oh, yes. And there's been planets in retrograde and all sorts of things going on.
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes, yes.
And
time for them to go
flares.
Forward.
Yeah.
And solar flares, yeah.
Yeah, solar flares the other day. Yeah, we've had a couple of CMEs from the solar flares. And, yeah, it's a cosmically...
Knocking us around silly.
Yes. So it's kind of nice to get a break from all that.
Yeah, it is. So you're going to be speaking about Suicide from an Angel's Perspective, among other things.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
brilliant.
And the message, it does seem like a little bit of a morbid subject, but the Posse of Angels, again, my angelic family, wanted to speak about this, and it was brought to the fore with the recent suicide, Robin Williams taking his own life. And with the topic today on suicide from an angel's perspective, what's really important to remind everybody is that we incarnate in human form, and each soul, each one of us, writes the contract for our life. And we choose many other different souls to play different roles. And while some of those roles are really big, like our parents and our siblings and the spouses that we have and our partners, there are countless other souls who play minor roles. But each of those is really, really important. And while one life may seem to be small, it involves the weaving and interweaving of people's lives to help each other grow and experience. And you know, Jean-Christy and Gary, each soul carefully and very thoughtfully plans out just how long they'll need for each human incarnation before they cross over. And they carefully contract the perfectly timed exit plan. Now, this exit plan, when a person crosses over, allows for and brings to completion all the interactions and all the interplaying that each of these souls needed for their growth and experience. And in effect, each one of us is responsible for the important role that we play in another's life, as no connections are random. Mm-hmm. Well, with all of these connections being so well thought out and timed divinely to perfection, can you imagine when one chooses, for whatever reason, to suicide and ends their contract? They leave enormous, gaping, huge holes as the role they contracted to fill in another person's life, it's no longer going to be filled. Now, just imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of thousands of people who were experiencing you to provide maybe some timely information or some guidance, perhaps some encouragement or support that held significant information for them, and with your exit never happens. And a lot of people think to themselves, or actually a lot of people don't even aren't even clear enough when they suicide, but when they do decide to take their own life, they think, or they might think that, okay, my responsibility is over. But our responsibility to these other souls doesn't end with our crossing, because when we cross over, we are responsible for leaving people in a lurch and filling those gaps. So when we cross over, even though we have suicided, we have to fix things from across the veil. And many people don't know this.
Oh, yes. And even in some cases, and this is based on my own experience as well, in some cases, the individual who took their own life can actually help better from that other side. Now, that's in some cases, not in all cases, but in some of them.
In some of them, that's true, because mm-hmm. they find life too difficult and too challenging, and it's too much of a struggle to be clear enough to help in the physical form.
Mm-hmm.
But when these hundreds of thousands of souls are, it's like they're dependent upon us in physical form to be their compass, and also they have contracted to be a compass for us. And when this suicide happens, all these souls are left hanging, and it's a true nightmare. But the Posse of Angels tells me that when this occurs, you get a lot of help from spirit guides and angels. Even the Etheric Council can jump in here. They'll provide lots of help to rectify this immense redirection of events. But ultimately, it's that soul's duty to deal with and make it right from the other side before they can really go on and do whatever they choose to do. But it leaves really huge gaping holes.
And I'm sure that many people really regret it after they've done that.
Oh, it's so true.
When they look down and see what's happening to the relatives,
yeah.
and the hardship they sometimes cause.
Yes, and many who do end their lives, they've ended their lives because they've allowed negative beliefs to actually saturate their being when they pass over. And then when they cross over, they have this gut-wrenching guilt and this terrible shame as they look on and they see what this has caused the people who they have left behind. One important thing with all suicide is that if these souls are burdened by this heavy weight of shame and guilt, you know, they're consumed with the fear of facing judgment for what they've done. And there is no judgment on the other side. That's a really important thing to remember. If you have had a family member or friend or you know somebody who has crossed over, there is absolutely no judgment on the other side. But it does leave a lot of threads and different things for the people whose lives we've touched on this side, and a lot of people who are in that space where they choose suicide. They're really not clear enough. They're in a very deep fog, and so they haven't been able to think beyond just getting out of that very deep fog. But, you know, it's funny, not all souls get stuck in feeling guilty for what they've done. I don't know if you've seen some of these young people that their parents are actually channeling. There's one called Channeling Eric, a doctor. I forget her name, but she's got a blog in which she channels her son who committed suicide. And then there are others. It seems to me that the younger the soul is, they have more, they pretty much keep their high elevated levels of awareness, and they accept what they've done. They get on with the task of, you know, of saying, well, I did this, and then, you know, stepping into whatever role they need to do next. Perhaps it's because they are young, and they haven't had a very long time of accumulating that negativity within themselves. I'm not sure.
But I'm quite sure that nearly everyone out there listening to the show today will have had someone who's passed over in that way,
yeah.
close to them.
Yeah,
or that
yeah.
they know
I
of.
Mean,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. And this thing with Robin Williams, I really do want to touch on this because Robin Williams crossing over was in no way untimely. And as each of us decides when and how we wish to exit the contract of this physical incarnation. But his death in particular was synchronistically timed in order for everyone to see and be made aware of how important one life one life lived in true authenticity can affect so many people on the planet. And by sharing one's gifts and talents and generosity with others, it's unbelievable how each one of us goes on to touch the lives of so many others that we may never, ever have met. And certainly, I never met Robin Williams, but I can tell you, when my husband walked in and told me that news, I sucked wind. You know, I gasped. I went, you know, it was such a shock to my system. I, like many, grew up with his movies and knew of his generosity. The higher reason, the angel's reason or the perspective on this, is that so many of us have come to the end of our ropes. We are weary, we are exhausted about the mission as light workers and star seeds and walk-ins that we've taken on. And many of us have quite frankly said, I don't want to do this anymore, I want to go home. It's just too hard. And with his crossing over, we got to really experience on a visceral, gut-wrenching level how much of a gaping hole that would leave if we did leave the planet. So his, as I said, his death was not untimely, and it brought home to many how one person can make such a difference on this planet.
Yeah. So do you think he possibly chose that before he came to exit at that time, or did he just play it by ear?
That's an interesting question. And, you know, when I tuned in, the Posse of Angels have reminded me that suicide is never, ever written into a contract of a life. And the reason it's never written is because it's the intention of each soul who incarnates in the physical world to have that honor. And it is an honor. There are more souls than there are bodies to house them.
Yes.
And it's just true honor to be able to have a human incarnation. And while it's not written into a life, you know, some people do have a higher probability for it to occur. You know, for instance, I'm sure many of us know people who are empaths and which their highly sensitive nature makes them susceptible to soak up all the energies around them. And that must be very difficult, and not being able to put filters in place and being so open can see them taking on so much and feeling so deeply. This results in them feeling very easily overwhelmed with their earthly role. Those who feel things so deeply are prone to, you know, deep depressions and to, you know, get themselves in that place where it's hard to get themselves out of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that is an interesting point that you brought up. It's never really written into the contract when we incarnate into this life. And we all jumped up and down. We couldn't wait to be here. We stood in line.
God.
We couldn't wait to be here. Absolutely.
We were children. It was like winning the lottery. We wiggled with excitement. And even those older souls who had many incarnations, you know, the Posse of Angels and my having experienced it myself with those two near-death experiences, it's like those women who have had children before and get pregnant. You know, they know somewhere in their, you know, cellular makeup that they know they went through childhood before and the birthing, but somehow it's blocked. You know, those struggles and challenges and the difficulties and all those things, somehow they fade away, and we just are so excited about going back and playing the human game again that it all kind of pales into comparison to coming back and playing this extraordinary game of being human.
Being walking around, yeah, in human form, in physical form, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, it's like a Disneyland for spiritual beings. That's what it's like.
Right, right.
Well, that's great for us in the West, but how about people who were born to starve to death? Do they choose to do that? And what a waste of a life.
Well, no, there is no waste of a life. Let's just get that point in here. Those people who choose to starve to death, like in Biafra or Ethiopia or, you know, a lot of third world countries, they choose, they're actually very, very strong, wise, spiritual warriors, and they choose that in order for the world to wake up. You know, if nobody would play this contrasting role, then people wouldn't be able to see the devastation and how much of humanity, you know, that we just don't bother looking at or taking care of. It makes us pause. It makes us give. It makes us, you know,
it makes us aware.
Open our hearts. It makes us aware. And so those souls, we look at them like, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, that's terrible. But each soul chooses very succinctly as they sit down with the Etheric Council. They choose their life very carefully for what they would like to learn, the lessons they would like to learn, and also from a higher perspective, what they choose to allow others to see and to open the eyes of those on the earth plane. So it's very complicated, and I think those angels and the Etheric Council that put all these things into place are absolute geniuses.
Yeah, I just wish the world leaders would awaken and see what's happening.
It is, they are. I'd just like everyone to know that it's not happening as quickly as we would like it, but it is happening. We can see things that are starting to be disclosed, how people won't take it anymore. They won't just vote to vote or not vote. They'll really take the steps needed. And I do believe that it is happening, but yet again, you know, we wish it would happen all at once, but life doesn't work that way. Another interesting that the Posse of Angels is telling us is that they are assuring us when it comes to suicide, if a person has had even the slightest openness to changing their mind about taking their life, that every suicide that ever happened would have been prevented by outside forces occurring, because God and the angels would have staged an intervention. Now, the Posse of Angels, they're reminding us that there's so many times they could send something to interrupt or distract the person, like, you know, from the fog that they're in, you know, like a bird slamming into a window or an angel disguised as a person in human form turning up. You know, I must relate a very cute story here. I once had a client who suffered with extreme depression, and he told me that he had gone into the woods, the nearby woods, intending to take his life. And just as he was about to kill himself, a golden retriever, this beautiful golden dog, burst out of the forest, out of nowhere, and barreled through the woods towards him. My client didn't recognize this dog, but the dog leapt on him, knocked him over, and relentlessly kept licking his face. As much as he tried to push the dog off him, the dog just sat on him and licked his face. The futility of trying to persuade this dog to let him get on with his task momentarily diffused his thoughts of suicide, and when his energies calmed down, he sat upright, and the dog lay at his feet next to him for the longest time. When the thought of suicide had passed, my client got up to go, dog got up, and ran off in an opposite direction and out of sight. He never did find out where that dog came from, but the Posse of Angels is saying that he was sent by God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, I do believe that. I think probably a lot of people are interrupted, but you don't really hear about them, do you? You only hear about the ones that are successful.
Absolutely.
Unless they tell you.
Because I know that so many people either are going to be listening to this archive show or listening to it now that have had somebody cross over in their life through a suicide, the Posse of Angels really, really want to stress that there was nothing that you could have done to save them. Absolutely nothing. And just knowing this helps family members enormously. as the amount of blame that they choose to carry up on with them is enormous.
Yes.
Just knowing this opens up the floodgates for real healing to occur and to peace enter, for peace to enter one's life. And they really do want to stress that even though somebody chooses to do this, there's no punishment and there's no judgment. There's only that pure love, and they get to view their action from a higher point of view. You know, those souls who have taken their life, just what you said before, Jean Christy, once they do it, they really regret what they've done, and they wish to have a second chance to make a different choice. And, you know, in some cases, a soul can actually reincarnate into a parallel dimension, a parallel reality, in which they do not decide to end their life and to be able to make other choices. And then there's another possibility that they choose to reincarnate in a totally in a similar life that will bring about the same reactions from the soul, and they'll be allowed to make possibly a different decision. So they are very regretful, and there are things that they can do to set themselves on a different path to maybe rectify this.
Yeah. Oh, well, that sounds quite promising, doesn't it?
It does.
Speaking from an experience standpoint as well, I had a very close friend of mine who took his life that way. And he was a shaman. He was a Native American shaman and crossed over. And me being from the Native American descent and carrying of the sacred Lakota pipe, I had to perform a ceremony. One of the seven sacred ceremonies around the sacred pipe, one of them is the releasing of the soul. It's a Wanagi Yuhapi. And I had to do this ceremony with his wife and several family members and so forth. And it was a release, and it was a reassurance. What came to me through spirit was a reassuring energy that he was still helping, but helping better from the other side, just like you were saying, Candy, about too much distraction, too many things going on in his life that was preventing him from performing that which he needed to do, which is operate in a spiritual realm from the other side. So it would be better to help that. And I was able to convey that to his wife, and she understood completely. And it was quite a deal. It was really a quite an experience.
I was going to say, thinking about it that way, Gary, which is an excellent point, then it's almost you're happy for the other person, because if they are held back in any way in their physical incarnation, then they're not feeling whole and they're not feeling complete. And this way, once they do make the transition, they can be of the optimum help for the universe.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly the way it went down.
So really, all of us need to make sure that we've got our priorities right, because we sometimes prioritize on the wrong things, don't we?
That's true. And we allow ourselves to get distracted. I did a radio program recently on letting go of comparisons and letting go of expectations. There is only our agenda, and everything else is mere illusion. You know, what we buy into to in order to fulfill and to find our identity, when our identity is already there. I mean, we're already pure essence of God's source, and here to be joyful and to bring forth our creative abilities and talents and in the most loving ways. And if you look beyond that, you're going to get clouded. And actually, the Posse of Angels are chiming in here, and they're saying that they do want each and every one of us to know just how cherished, loved, and adored we are, and how much we all make a difference on this planet. And that's the reason why we were chosen to be here. And whatever you're going through, or for those people who are listening who were or are or have been thinking about suicide, you're never alone, as there are people and organizations to always help. And even though God never gives us more than we can handle, you know, many times we really do forget about how actually strong we are. They want to remind us to ask for help, open to accept the way that it is given. You know, it may be as obvious as that big yellow Labrador coming out of nowhere, but it may be more subtle than that. And open up to receive in the way that that God wishes to help us. You know, they also want to stress that that the time that we have in this physical incarnation is so coveted, and our spot on planet Earth is not happen chance, as we all hold such an integral puzzle piece for this grand plan, this grand design, and that each one of us was chosen because we have a specialized individual energy that is here to create ascension for the planet. And if you take that away, it's like it is in many ways. Somebody says it's like just taking a drop away from the ocean. But, you know, with each drop that you take away from the ocean, it's less, and it does affect, and those ripples go out worldwide. So it's really important to know that you're here for a purpose, and you have such a specialized, beautiful energy that it's very much needed on this planet.
And no one can take your place, can they?
No. You know, yes. In fact, I've experienced this a number of times, that when you cross over to the other side and you are just pure essence and you get out of this funny little meat suit, as I call it, this physical form that we're in, that, you know, out of the billions and trillions of souls, people can recognize you for exactly your unique frequency because it's never duplicated in any space, time, and dimension. It just isn't.
No, that's no fair,
and that's how
it?
Unique we are. Yeah, and it's so lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Another thing, I just want to jump in here. Another thing that the Posse of Angels keep pushing me in the back, and they say, mention this. They want me to mention that when they talk about heaven, they simply mean a state of mind and not a physical place. In this way, no one can ever be denied access or stopped from entering heaven. For those who choose to take their own lives, they experience a kind of darkness or fog. You could call it hell, but it has nothing to do with their action of suicide, but it has to do with the thoughts which have caused them to take that action. And rather than all the judgment days that have been depicted over the centuries, it's we and only we who could either allow or prevent an entrance to a state of mind which is a heaven, or to experience what some people might call hell.
Well, it's the same as on Earth, isn't it? You can sort of exist in a state of heaven, if you like, can't you? I mean, we're creating our own reality, so you can create it as beautiful as you like, can't you?
Yeah.
And I know in some ways you've got to sort of... No, I mean, I don't close my eyes to the things that are going on in the world. I somehow have become a light warrior from being a light worker, and I'm on Facebook or whatever, signing petitions for this, that, and the other, and trying to do something to change the world, which is another topic you wanted to mention, isn't it? Changing the world. And
the best way we change the world is by changing within. Become the change. I've had many clients, you know, when I ask them what do they dream about doing, they said, oh, I wish I was like the Bill Gates or an Oprah Winfrey, and I would, you know, eradicate world hunger, and I would do this and I would do that. And I had one client say that he wanted to go overseas and he wanted to start an orphanage and to help children. And I said, so what are you doing in your weekend hours or, you know, in your spare time? Are you helping children? And he said, no. And I said, well, I said, God didn't place you here in Los Angeles for a happen chance. I said, there are plenty of Big Brother organizations. There are plenty of, you know, Boy Scouts and the different, organizations and volunteer groups that you can go and you can help. And it's right under your own nose. So,
yes.
You know, many of us think, oh, well, I can't do enough. When if each of us just did what we could do within our own capacity, the world would be immensely changed.
Well, that's right. I mean, Mother Teresa said, you don't need to feed every starving child, just feed one. But
yeah,
you don't have to go to India to do that. You can do it from your own front room, can't you?
Absolutely. I had a wonderful, I have a wonderful Facebook friend, her name is Lisa, and she's in Sydney, Australia, and a lot of people think Australia is just sunshine and, you know, sort of beautiful blue skies and just amazing beaches, which it is, but it can get really gosh darn cold in Sydney with the rains and the winds. Anyway, she walked the same path to work during the winter, and she passed this homeless man, and in the beginning she gave him money and, you know, every time she saw him. And then the more she saw him, the more she struck up a conversation with him. And when she went to give him some money, she said, what is it that you wish for most? And he was surprised, you know, nobody spoke to him. And he said, well, you know, quite frankly, he said, I would kill for a clean pair of warm, fuzzy socks. He says, you have no idea how difficult it is to keep my feet warm and dry. So that played on her mind all during the day. And she went home and she said, I'm going to start a sock tree. You know, it was around Christmas time, and she said, and I'm going to ask people on Facebook to donate a pair of warm, fuzzy socks for this sock tree, and then I'm going to, distribute it every time I see a homeless person. Well, she put this on Facebook, and suddenly it went viral. People were sending her thousands and thousands of pairs of socks. She got involved and called up different homeless organizations, and then a local TV station picked this up, and then they were filming her on the streets of Sydney in the dead of winter giving out these socks, and the story was how one person can make such a difference in so many people's lives. So all we need to do is step forward, and then it's amazing how the universe will then open up so many different things happening for us to be of service.
Yes, opportunities just come from nowhere, don't they?
They do. But we have to, but because we create the ripples, we can't just sit there with our arms folded and say, you know, Lord, show me how to serve. We have to step forward and throw that rock in the pool of life to create those ripples in order for the ripples to then bring back to us those opportunities and connections which will easily come back to us to show us how we can further serve.
Yes. So I hope that's inspiring someone out there to do something for someone else.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And you know what?
Absolutely.
You know what? When we give to somebody else, one of the greatest lessons I ever learned came from my dad, very smart man. And he said, if you decide to give, give with all of your heart and give freely with no strings attached. If something should come back, you'll be pleasantly surprised. But he said, the gift that you give when you give is the gift of giving because it's a gift you give to yourself ultimately.
That's true.
Wonderful.
Very wise.
Very wise.
Great point.
So, you're an authoress as well, aren't you? Or shall I call you an author?
I am. I am an author of my beautiful book, Angels of Faith, that was channeled to me by a little bird in 2007. just a little bit of a way that, the book magically came to me. I was working on my third book at the moment, and something got me to wake up at 5:30. Now, you've got to understand, there is no 5:30 in the morning for me. You know, if I usually wake up at 7:30, there's a 5:30 at night. There's no 5:30 in the morning. And yet I was wide awake, so I grabbed a cup of tea and I went and sat down. And every other time, channeling and bringing forth books and writing was free-flowing for me. And suddenly it was blocked for me, and I heard this screeching of a bird, and it sounded like it was in distress. And I went over to our bathroom window, and I looked out, and there was a disused clothesline, and a little bird had built his nest there. Anyway, when I looked at the little bird, he started to shake his head from side to side, and he screeched up a storm, and it was mesmerizing as he locked eyes with me. And he went on this way for about 3 to 5 minutes. And then afterwards, I thought, oh. And then he just shut up. And I thought, gee, that was bizarre. And I went back to have some peace and quiet to concentrate on my third book. And what came out was a very different story. My fingers started to type what the little bird had downloaded into me. And it's this story of angels of faith. It's written with the energy of the angelic language of light, and it's written with such pure intention behind it that when people read it, they start to wake up to their divine eternal natures. Just a very cute story. I had a client in Australia read the book, and she then sent me an email, and she said, Candy, I love the book. I just wanted to tell you thank you for writing this wonderful story. She said, but I had something strange happen. She said, I read it, and three-quarters of the way through the book, my eyes started to well up with tears as I got a vague remembrance of something that I'd forgotten long ago. I said, that's so wonderful. Can I use that as a testimonial? She said, sure. But strangely enough, 4 days later, somebody who had attended my meditation nights ordered 4 of the books, and he called me up. And he said, hi, Candy. He said, I just had to tell you how much I loved your book. He said, but there was something strange. He said, when I read it, I got three-quarters of the way through the book, and my eyes started to well up with tears as I got a vague remembrance of something that happened long ago. And I said,
wow.
What did you say? I said, those same words were uttered by somebody who read the book in Australia. And about 4 days or 5 days after that, a gentleman who worked at an old age home in Virginia got in touch with me, and he said, I wanted to tell you about my experience with your book. I've ordered several copies for this old age home, as your book gives people hope that we do not die and that we're divine and eternal. He said, when I read your book, he said, my eyes started to mist over with tears, and I started to remember who I really was. And I said, from Australia to California to Virginia, in around 10 days time period, 3 people showed me what effect this little book was having on people, that we do not die, and that we have always existed, and that we are divine source energy.
Australia is where we can get your book, Candy.
So I can get the book on my website at www.angelhealinghouse.com.
So that's www.angelhealinghouse.com.
Correct.
If you want to get one of Candy's books, and I think I might, thanks. Gary's posted it in the chat room. I think I might just be ordering that book myself. And
it's a lovely book. It really is. Can I just read out, and I actually don't have to read it out because I know it by heart. My dad, my wise dad, who gave me that that very sage advice about, you know, giving is the gift you give to yourself. He wrote this poem when he was a young boy And he didn't title it, but I've always called it the angel poem, and it's at the beginning of my book, and it goes like this. An angel once drew near to me and said in heavenly voice, I will give you but one wish. Pray, what will be your choice? I said, my godly messenger, I've traveled far and wide. I've had the best of teachers. You see, I'm not untried. And if I must but make one wish, my mind is clear and free. For rather than own all the world, let me but myself be. He wrote that when he was 11 years of age. And he, and wow. From then he was channeling beautiful poems, metaphysical poems, and his name is Leonard Milgram. And that's probably my favorite poem, and that's why I put it at the front of my angel book, Angels of Faith.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Really, really good. Well, I have to wake up sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning to write lyrics, or sometimes if I'm just vacuuming or gardening or whatever, I get them through, and I just have to run in and grab a pen and paper and write.
You vacuum at 4 o'clock in the morning?
No, not at 4 o'clock in the morning. If they can't get me at 4 o'clock in the morning, if I'm flat out dead asleep, they get me when I'm doing something like gardening or vacuuming.
They have woken me up at, like, you know, 111, 222, 333, saying,
okay,
you need to go and write.
11-11,
yes.
11-11, yeah. Well, do you think we should take some callers? We've had one that's been waiting for 37 minutes, patiently on the switchboard.
I would love to take a phone caller, sure.
Do you want to bring them on, 773, please, Gary?
I can do that. Let's go ahead and bring them on. 773, you are on air with Claire Candy Huff. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Joellen. I'm actually driving. I'm going from Indianapolis to Chicago.
Oh.
Well, thank you for calling.
Well, it's interesting. You know, the subject that piqued my interest, you know, the whole Robin Williams thing and, you know, in Indianapolis, in this little area where I'm staying, there's been 3 suicides of high schoolers in the past 2 or 3 weeks, and it's just, you know, heart-wrenching. And, you know, you think about that when you, like you were saying, when you reflect on these people and you think, what could I have done? And you think about how their heart must have been so heavy to think that they can't go on feeling this way. And I've gone through some troubles myself, and you know, you get that feeling where your heart is so heavy, heavy, and there's so much sadness when you think about these people, you know, that they felt so alone, and it is so hard. You hear people say, "Well, you're not alone." It's hard to hear that and believe it when you're on the other side of that sadness. You know?
No, that's absolutely true. You know, somebody one says that, you know, you could be in the most populated area and you can have the most adoring family and friends, but if you don't feel it, nobody can get you to feel that.
Yeah.
You know, unless you choose to open up your heart and to feel that. Now, on the flip side, there have been many people who have tried to suicide and then failed to do so. Seen it through, and they've been interviewed, and some of them have said, you know, it was at the last moment that I just couldn't do it. You know, I thought about my family, or I thought, I'll wait another 10 minutes, I'll wait another 15 minutes, or I'll change my thinking or change my perception. There was something inside of them that was that glimmer of hope that kept them going. But nobody can do that for you. You have to be able to do that yourself.
Well, I think there's also...
Hello? Did we lose the caller?
I think she dropped out.
I think we lost her. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, what a shame. But it's I'm just so pleased you're not trying to meditate while you're driving.
Yeah, that could be tricky. Yes.
Very tricky. So maybe she might call back in again. Was her area code 646? Gary? No, it wasn't. It was 773, wasn't it?
Right.
Hello, is that Joellen?
Yes, hello.
Oh, you fell off the line.
Oh, you're back.
Never mind, you're back. I was just saying, as long as you're not trying to meditate while you're driving.
No.
Yeah,
but it's interesting because there are long stretches of cornfields, and yes, there are times when I'm quasi-asleep.
Oh. Keep your wits about you.
Yeah, so, keep awake.
And so I guess I'm kind of curious. You know, I find that there are times when it's just so hard, and I don't have that typical path where some people, they have, you know, the family, the kids, the whatever, or the career. You know, it's like either one or the other, you know, that the career drives them to have that, you know, focus. And I've kind of, I haven't had the family, and I haven't had that. For me, the career has been splintered. I've had so many interests. And so I'm just kind of wondering, you know, it's hard to find the interest of, you know, what is the purpose?
It's okay, Joellen, it's only hard if you're having expectations on how things should turn out. Because the how and the what and the when of life turning out is not your providence. That's the providence of God and the angels. You can have pure intention. And also, the posse of angels, my angelic family, is saying, take that word purpose out, because that's what's derailing you. Put your emphasis on your passion. On what floats your boat? What creative endeavor, when you do it, you lose all track of time? Now, that could be cooking or gardening. Mine is writing. Could be, you know, something to do with art or drawing or some creative endeavor, because when you're doing that, you are encompassing child of God who you are, and you're freely expressing yourself in the present moment. And a lot of people, you know, they get lost in that. You know, when I asked clients, what would you do if you had all the money in the world? You know, whereas 5 minutes before that, I said, what are you passionate about? And they couldn't. They said, oh, it is this, but I can't make any money out of it. But then I said, if you have all the money in the world, then they say, oh, well, of course I would be doing that. But the funny thing is, when we put money before anything else, that's why our society is, and there are so many disappointed people. So I would take that word hard out of your vocabulary. It's only hard if you've already established different expectations for your life. The more that we can just intend and show up with joy, creativity, and love in our hearts, and to do what we are passionate about, the rest will fall into place. And you'll be surprised how easy and flowing life is, because, you know, then you ask how would be best to serve is by serving yourself, by creating and bringing forth what you're passionate about, and then you go on to serve others with that. So I think that would be helpful for you.
Oh, thank you.
And also, I got the feeling when you said that you haven't done the family and all that, that there's still time to do that.
Mm.
Well, that's very nice. You know, I do feel very useful, and I think my family has pretty much given up on me. But I'm hoping that somebody else hasn't.
Well, that's good. There you go.
Well,
as long as you love yourself, all the rest of it will follow. Don't worry about any of the rest of it.
Absolutely. The rest will fall into place. I'm gonna pull some cards for you, Joellen. The first card, well... this is the Ace of Wands, and the Ace of Wands is telling you that that you are on route for a new beginning in your life. I mean, it seems that a new opportunity is going to be presented to you, something that you are passionate about. And from this conversation today, you'll start thinking to yourself, well, you know, I won't get bogged down in finding my purpose, you know, which can make people crazy, and put more of my emphasis on my passion. And you'll be amazed in this sense of wonder how you'll draw the people and the opportunities to you to step forward into a new inspirational area.
Well, that's great. You know, if you've ever listened to NPR, This American Life, Ira Glass,
mm-hmm.
he is public radio talk show host, and he
mm-hmm.
wrote this little snippet or paragraph. I don't know where he wrote it or where he said it, but of course I found it on the internet. And he said, the reason that artists always have such a hard time is that they know what something's supposed to look like. They have artistic taste, like artistic skill, but their talent hasn't caught up to what they know that they see or that they feel.
Right.
And so it's interesting that he says that. He says you just got to keep pushing on with the baby steps until you get to that mastery of what you're looking for.
Right, right. But the flip side of that as well is don't get too caught up in the end result, because it's the journey that matters. And it's in the bringing forth of it that is going to hold the most energy and the most joy. I had a client who years ago, when the Santa Barbara fires were on, and her little townhome was directly in front of the raging, roaring fire, and she had to decide within about 20 minutes of what she was going to take with her. And she had all these beautiful, beautiful, huge canvases in her townhouse. And at the last moment, she said, you know what? She said, I left those canvases. She said, and what I took was my paint, my rolled up, bare canvases, that were, not on a frame. And she said, and I got in the car and I raced away. And she said, the reason I did that was because the joy was in the creating. Those things had already been done. Those things.
Yeah.
But I knew that I am an infinite source, and that I could create again with my paints and my canvases, that hadn't been painted on. So I thought that was a really good observation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, and it is interesting because there, I do find it's funny. You said, what do you love most? And when I talk to friends, or when I just talk to people that I just meet, that's really kind of like my passion, is just to talk to people. But then, I've got the art and the travel are my interests as well. It's just, the funny thing is when I listen to people and I'm listening to what they're saying, I always say, you know what you should do? You should try this. And it's kind of like this little problem solver in me. And I have people say, you should start a little website or a blog that says, you know what you should do.
The first thing that came to me was that you already have the outline for a great blog talk radio show. Yes, you do.
Well, maybe I'll all of you on my show next.
Absolutely.
If I have it.
I mean, you have the the charm. You have the eloquence, but even more than the charm and the eloquence, JoEllen, you have the energy behind you that you care about people. You can hear it in your voice. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to dissect it, but you can hear that you're engaging. And this is money in the bank. This really, truly is. If you can marry what comes easily to you. See, a lot of people look for, their purpose or what they have to do in life, and they try to reinvent the wheel. When each of us has been given a strength that we have inside of us. It comes easily to us. And if it comes easily to us, we think to ourselves, well, everybody can do that. But I can tell you, not many people have the elan and the grace that's coming forth in your voice. So I would definitely look into a Blog Talk Radio show that you can do, and you can marry it around travel, and you can marry it around intuitive counseling, whatever you want to call it. But just make it so individualized and put your fingerprints on it. I think it's a winner.
Yeah, you could be a Blog Talk agony aunt. You could have people phoning you and asking your advice about things, couldn't you? Anyway, we're going to be very quickly running out of time, but we would like you to call back and let us know how you got on, Joellen, because we're always interested in what happens to people that call the show. So
absolutely.
When you've got some news for us, just call us, okay?
Can I just give Joellen the two more cards? This reading has everything to do with your career. Three wands, and the wands are all about your career. And after I started talking about the Blog Talk Radio show, the Six of Wands shows up, and it said, congratulations, this is a victory for you. Time to move on to this next project, and it's a wonderful new start for you. So that's a great indication that this is a winner for you and that you will do very well at it.
Wow.
Well, excellent. Thank you so much, and I'll definitely keep you all in the loop and give you all credit.
Thank you, Joellen. We're going to need to bring online. Sorry?
I'd love to keep listening if you don't hang up on me.
We won't
hang
up on you. We'll just mute you. Okay, thank you. Bye. Good luck.
Bye. And thank you.
Do you mind if we bring the next caller on, Candy? We've got area code 646 who's been waiting for half an hour at least. So are you there, 646?
I am. It's Earth Mom Helena. And got to tell you what a wonderful show is. I'm a listener to Candy's show pretty regularly.
Hello, lovely Helena.
Lovely.
How are you?
Earth Mom, how are you?
Welcome to our show.
Sorry. I can't believe you're on the West Coast. We've been here a while now. Wow. You know, the whole thing's really struck me, and Robin Williams hit me so hard. For one thing, though, I found it difficult in my heart to believe he would even take his life. And maybe that's just my wishing. I don't know. I kind of try. In my heart, in my head, maybe I want to blame it on, medicine, the drugs, mood drugs and all that. I don't know. The other thing that you mentioned hit me very hard. I've been pretty frustrated about a particular thing that's, gotten way to my heart. And before his suicide, I would never do it. I wouldn't have the guts to, but thinking, this is really not worth it. This is too hard. And then he died. And it's like, whoa. You know, that reality of it was just...
Yes, it is. That's the word. That's the word, Helena. Thank you so much. Because so many light workers, some of us light workers have been doing this since we were, making love, not war in the 60s. I mean, I incarnated with my walk-in experience in 2003, so I only been doing this 11 years. But, there are some that are so weary and so exhausted. And a lot of that frustration comes because, there's still wars on the planet. There's still man's inhumanity to man. There's still that greed and corruption. You'd think in 2014 that we would have learned something by now. And a lot of us are just so weary. And we think to ourselves, what's the point? What's the point? If things aren't going to change, but they are changing. But not as quickly as some would like to see them. So, and I do believe that's why, when so many times a celebrity or somebody takes their life or crosses over, it hits us at a very gut-wrenching level, and it really did make us see what happens when that one person leaves the planet and how it affects so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, George Bailey, and, you know, he got
yes.
to see how his life affected everyone, even though.
Yeah.
But tell me, can the angels tell you, do they feel it? It perhaps was medication that made Robin Williams take that turn.
You know, they're almost, Helena, they're almost saying that it doesn't matter. You know, I've heard some people saying things about conspiracy theories, and at the end of the day, what we need to put our focus on is, yes, he was a great actor, but more than that, the amount of things that were posted on his generosity and his goodness and his mm-hmm. inclusive spirit mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. phenomenal. I mean, mm-hmm. this man was just, you know, he was magic incarnate. That's what he was. And I think it's more important, I do feel it's more important that it honors his passing. Not by saying, oh, you know, the medication was to blame, or conspiracy theory, or this was to blame, or it was because none of that really should come into it at this stage, because he is crossed over, is to see how much of a difference he did make and how much of a difference each one of us can make on this planet.
Yeah, focus on the positives.
Focus on the positives, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. It's a wonderful show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Helena. Oh. Would you like me to pull 3 cards for you?
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to have to make them quick, though, because we've still got another caller.
Okay, let's make them quick. Do you have a question? Do you have a question?
I guess it's the relationship one.
Okay, let's see what comes out. Well, there he is. He definitely is. He's still wavering. You're ready. You're ready, my dear. You've been ready for a very long time, but he's still wavering, and he's not really that ready to commit yet. You've got 2 kings in a row. My gosh, it might not be long before he has a shift and he does step up. And then it does look like that where he is now, he's got some major decisions to make. And that's free will and free choice, but all you can do is just, you know, do the best that you can and just say, you know, just keep sending him healing light and love. Because he has that free will whether he's going to shift or not into his heart fully.
I pray for the highest and best for him all the time.
Absolutely. And for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
well,
rascal.
Thank you.
That rascal. Yeah. Gary, big hug. Big hug to the 3 of you. That rascal.
Can we go on to the next caller, do you think? Because
we've only got
10 minutes left. We're so sorry, Helena.
No, you're wonderful.
We're just running out of time so quickly.
It's wonderful hearing your voice again, Helena.
Thanks, darling.
All right, darling.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call.
I'll put you back on mute and let you continue to listen if you want to. Okay.
And if you bring 516 on, please, Gary.
I can do that.
Thanks a lot.
516, you are on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Mary Ellen, and I'm calling from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Mary Ellen. Welcome to the show.
Hi,
let's make it a really quick one card, if you can, please.
Okay. Okay, what's your question? What's your question, Muriel?
Romance.
Okay, romance. Okay, while I'm shuffling, they want to know, how much of a romance do you have with yourself?
How much romance do I have with myself?
Yes. Do you love yourself? Do you nurture and nourish yourself?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you think you're the bee's knees, because you are. Your one card that came out is the 6 of Cups, and they're saying that in order to have this romance that you so desperately desire in your life, you have to rekindle, and you have to, are there still family relationships that are triggering you?
Family, yes.
Okay. They're saying that in order, those have to be released to have any reaction on you in order for you to be squeaky clean enough to be able to have the kind of relationship that you want with someone else. Because you can't hold anger, sadness, bitterness, resentment, regret, judgment, criticism, anything inside of you and expect what you're asking for of the highest order to appear in your reality, because there's going to be a frequency, an energetic disalignment or not alignment, unalignment or whatever. So they want you to really look at your family relationships and do a great deal of forgiveness around them. And this will help clear and cleanse a lot of those emotions inside of you and make you clear enough to then draw that beautiful relationship to yourself. And so I hope that's been helpful.
Yes, it has been. Thank you. I'm a first-time listener, and I plan on catching your show regularly. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. And you can always call back and let us know how you went on as well. Because we're here every Monday. And we also have a Facebook page, the Gold Ring Healing Fountain page. So look us up on there and make friends with us. And Gary's got a page, Gary Moore. And also he's got a radio show on a Saturday evening called Daddy G Show. So tune in to that. Yeah, Night with Daddy G. Sorry about that, Gary. I meant that. And Gary's got a Facebook page, as I said, Gary Moore, so you can look him up. And I've got one, Jan Christie Drinkell. And also I've got my band page, Jan Christie. And you've got a page as well, don't you, Candy?
I do. I have my Claire Candy Hough, H-O-U-G-H page. And I also have my Angel Healing House page, my business page. But I also have my Angel Healing House radio program on Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And now I have about 145 archive shows over the almost 3 years of weekly shows I've been doing of those channel topics.
Brilliant. That's good. Well, we've got 257 archive shows now when we get to the end of this one. And, so we've been going, nearly 5 years, I think.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Anyway, thank you so much for being our special guest. And,
you're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show again.
Can I give you another date as soon as you hang up?
Absolutely, you can do that. It's such a pleasure to be with such beautiful people.
Oh, it's so lovely to have you back. And what else? Oh, next week we've got the lovely Laura Pierat, and she's been on it on before, and so it's a welcome return for her next week, Laura Pierat. And also, we're going to play out with a Huey Lewis song, because we want to talk about the power of love. So, everybody out there, great. And thank you so much for joining us, Gary. It was lovely to have you back. And you will be here next week, won't you? But
yes, I will,
the 28th,
yes.
You said, didn't you?
Well, the 28th, that'll be the weekend of the 28th. I should be at the show after. So.
All right. Okay, then. Yeah. So you may be back by then. Okay, so what are you going to be doing? You're going to be doing another sweat lodge, did you say?
Oh, no. It'll be
ceremony.
A powwow. Festival.
Right, that's right, yeah.
Right.
Okay, then. Well, thanks so much for being with us once again. And
thank you, John Christie.
Thank you,
Candy.
Website,
thank you, Gary.
Barry.
Thank you, John Christie. God bless you all.
Thank you, callers. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you to everyone in the chat room as well. It's always lovely to see a few faces in there, even if they're not logged in with a username. It doesn't matter. But if you're logged in, you can type in. But if you're not, you're only guest, and they won't let you. So, and if you listen to the show and you don't realise that there is a chat page, all you need to do is scroll down, and you'll find our chat room underneath. So, thanks very much, everybody. Once again, we love you all, and we're going to say goodbye and bless and play out with this. Thank you once again. Okay,
thank
bye,
you,
everybody.
Bye.
Bye.